Our dear Father, we thank you tonight. Thank you for bringing us here. We ask that you open our eyes to see the truth. Help our heart to practice it. Lord, as we listen tonight, as we learn your word, help each one of us to see our part in it and how to use it for our good in Jesus' name. We pray that your spirit will make it clearer, personal to us, so that we can be of use to our lives in Jesus' name. Pray for those who are still coming and those who are going to join us online. We ask that the blessing of learning and living it will be ours together in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we pray for peace for our state, our city, and our nation. Thank you for helping us. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You can have your seat. Welcome to church. And, okay. Let's get our Bible. We are talking about what to do with Satan. And I will rephrase it as, let's go to Matthew 4. You know, that's where we have been logged in. And we are not logging out yet. Matthew 4. That's where we're talking about Jesus in action. And we just got to this point in Matthew 4. And we just want to explore it more. Matthew 4, verse 1. It says, Matthew 4, verse 1. Please, whoever is there, let's get serious quickly. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Next verse. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. All right. Now when the tempter, let's stop there. When the tempter, Jesus was led. So we are looking at the tempter. We are looking at the devil. But we also did something very interesting. We wanted to trace it more. How does he apply us to us today? So we look at the devil. The devil is the one that is the tempter. If you look at verse 2, or verse 1 rather, give us verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into to be tempted. The devil tempted him, and then they called the devil the tempter, right? And last week we began to dig some things about how to deal with Satan today. Let's go to chapter 12, the book of Revelation, verse 10. Let's look at the devil. Let's look at verse 9. So the great, if you remember, this is where we delve into. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called who? The devil and Satan. What is his real job? To deceive the whole world. So what does he do? He truncates the truth. He stops the truth. He profess the lies. Deception is simply not making the truth available or distorting the truth. And see this. He deceives how many of the world? The whole world. So he was cast to the earth. His angels were cast out with him. So we notice that he has angels too. And is the devil. The word devil means total evil. No place for good in him. And then the word Satan means prosecutor, accuser. And then the serpent of old was that serpent in the Garden of Eden. We've seen all this one. I'm just giving some recapitulating. Now, last week, we started talking about what do you do with the devil? What did Jesus do with the devil? Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to Mark chapter 1. Are we there? Okay. They're going to open it for us on the screen, but let me open it from here over here so we can. This is slow motion. We take our time. I don't want to be fast so you can get hold of the truth. You know, I woke up this morning quite early. I will listen to everybody. And I kept on hearing something in my spirit that until you understand to reason along with the word of God, your faith won't grow and you will not see God move in your life. Let's just pause there. Let's go to Romans 5, verse 1. Romans 5, verse 1. See that word, therefore. See that word, therefore, in that verse. Can you see it? Can you see it? Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, everybody. Can I help you? You know, in my younger days, when I read this verse, I will read justified by faith, then I will say, we have peace with God. I will say, do I really have peace with God? Please, are we here? You know, I'll read verse, let's say, therefore, justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it dawned on me that, like they tell you, it's your name in the book of life. Something like that. So when I read this kind of verse, I just think, oh, do I really have peace with God? But then I woke up this morning with God helping me to understand that I don't have to hear him tell me that I have peace with him. I can draw it as a conclusion. You see what I just said? If water is wet and you get wet, it is water. You don't have to hear that the wet is from water. You can draw conclusion, right? Am I making some sense? Are we here? Now, the Lord was telling me that what I read in the Bible, I can draw conclusion from there. Just like the same way, when you're crossing the road, you look on this side, there's no car coming. Look on that side, there's no car coming. You can draw conclusion as you cross the road. Am I right? Does that make some sense? Now, but when we come to God, we don't do that. We think that it's just whatever happens. No. You can draw conclusion. That's why we teach in church, so that you can draw conclusion. Say, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace. I don't have to be asking whether should I have peace or not. Do I have peace or not? No. If I have money in my pocket, then I can take a taxi, right? I want to make some sense. In the same way, don't see spiritual life. If God says, my God shall supply all your need, that means you can take that need to the Lord if it's your need. Want to make some sense? You know, to be looking, let's go to chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Beautiful. I'm just trying to take this journey so you can see how to use the Bible. Many people don't do that. Chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. All right. Let's look at the verse over there. That it's so very beautiful. Verse 13. Wow. Take a look. Can you see it on the screen? For we are not writing any other things to you than what you read and what? Or what? You see, are we here, everybody? Are we here, everybody? Paul, as a writer of the scriptures, said, whatever you read or understand in the Bible, that's what we actually meant. You hear? Don't you see, occultism, have you heard the word? Have you heard before the word occultism? Have you heard the word occultism before? Have you heard the word occultism and cult, they are in the same category. Occult, cult. Occultism is reading something to what is not there. Are you hearing me? For instance, they will say, if you say three times, holy, 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 something will appear in the sky. No, you see, that's occultism. It's saying something that is not there. Huh? Won't make some sense? But Bible is not like that. You can read the Bible. Now, I don't have to take the book of Psalm, read it into the water to stop certain thing coming to my room. I don't have to, because it says the Lord is my light and my salvation. I don't have to read that into the water. It doesn't mean it's for water. Does it make some sense? If it says the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It actually meant that. It doesn't mean something else. You'll be able to really live life well when you understand this. The Bible says, the Lord said, I will help you and I will strengthen you. So when you need help, you don't have to be, God, please, I hope you help me. No. He said, I will help you. Does that make some sense? I want you to start trusting the word of God. It will change a lot of things in your life. Hallelujah. Is that clear? Now, in the same way, when you read the Bible, it says, now I trust you will understand even to the end. For we are not writing anything. So God doesn't mean something else underneath the Bible when he writes it, when he wrote it. He didn't say, okay, when you read this, are we here? Are we here? When he says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. See, I'm doing some really fundamentals today because some of you just come to church, even just quote the Bible. You just quote the Bible. Some of you think that I just have some kind of occultic power. I just quote it. No, I'm not quoting it like the way you are thinking I'm quoting it. I'm not quoting Bible like as if Mugberu. Oh, no. See, I read it and I understand it and I know the flow of that chapter and I know what it is over there. So that's where I go there. It's not because it's just like that, you know, just Igbe, you know, kind of thing, or incantation. No. It's because, you see, I read the story. I read the stuff, and I, from there, I can deduce from there. That's what makes all the difference in the world. That's how you even go for exam. Am I right? You read your textbooks. You know that what that teacher told you is what is in the textbook, and you copy your notes, check it up. And then you go to exam hall and wrote those things down, right? And because you are so firmly convinced that what you wrote down is the thing that they ask for you in the exam hall, if they fail you, you can say, can I ask for my papers? Because you know that what you wrote there, are you getting what I'm saying now? There's no focus about it. Pastor, you know, God can just do something. He doesn't really mean that. Okay, let's see something else. 29:29, Deuteronomy. Maybe this will help us. 29:29, Deuteronomy. This will help us. I want to clarify this before we start. Because when it comes to things about the devil and God, we have all kinds of things. Look at this. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Can you look up? What does it say? The secret things belong to the Lord our God. Yeah. But those things which are revealed belong to who? Did you get that? Belong to who? To us and to our children for how long? That we may do all the word of this law. Now listen. Listen. Hello. Isaac is over there. You may not know her. She's over there. I don't know how much is in her back account. That secret belongs to God and her. If God reveals it to me, I won't mind, so I can tell her to empty the account for me. That's just a joke. You know, I mean, somebody said to tell me in church, I know how much is your account right now, 10,000 naira. Then open it and bring it to me. Say, it's not for you. That's just familiar spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying? No, we look for somebody's occult, because kind of a thing. Now, the secret thing belongs to the Lord. Let me drop a bombshell. I answered this question during one of the third services. People ask me about Pastor Tawo Odukoya, going to be with the Lord. His two wives going to be with the Lord. People ask me, I said, I don't know. I'm not quite close to him. I don't understand. You see, I can be safe to say that. I don't know. That between the Lord and them, I don't know. And for me to start using my head, look at PhD thesis on grass and something, I don't know. That's no use me getting. More so, each person has a walk with the Lord. But I know what is written here. Are you here? You get what I'm saying? So you'll be careful to not just go. You see, people reverse that verse. They want to read. The secret thing belongs to us, and the thing that reveal belongs to God. You don't do that. So what's revealed here? You should not just be watering your head, what happened to that? It's not revealed. But what's revealed, for instance, something happened. I handled a case years ago. I was around 1990, I'm not sure. A guy who was on drug tried to help him. And I couldn't help him. Finally, you know, I had to get off the case. And, you know, I know the family dressed and born again. And it bothered me for years. So I think about 3-4 weeks ago, it was revealed to me why I couldn't help him. Did you hear what I just said? Whoa. You know, it was I just saw why I couldn't help him. That was how many years ago? 1990. That's about 30 something years ago. 1991. You know, around that time. And I wonder what could happen. But just 2-3 weeks ago, I just saw what could happen. You saw it in the Bible. I said, oh, no wonder. Whoa. So some things about life, you won't know. But if you just stay in the Word of God, what's revealed to you, you can do that, and God will confirm that. Does that make some sense? So the place of the Bible, what's revealed to us, is so important that you can just take that to God. God won't say, that's the secret. For instance, let me now make it clearer. Now, God said, we supply your need, but the secret of how to get the money across from that person, it's not in your hand. Do you get that? What did I say? Now, God said, you supply your need, but how you will get the money, whether in dollars or pound sterling or France or Japanese yen, that is with him. And if you begin to, I don't know why I'm going there with this. That's some of you. That's why you are not getting results. Let's go to Psalm 131. I hope I'm correct. Hallelujah. Beautiful. I'm correct. 131 verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. You see that? You spend less time on Facebook. Why they are behaving the way they are behaving? That's the secret that belongs to God. You hear? See, some of you are wasting your energy instead of on your life. My heart is not haughty. God said it will help me. So I just think it will help me. How will it help me? I don't know. But I said it will help me. Like somebody, you know, the guy was praying for money. He said, God, please, I need some money. Then he asked God, how will you get this money for me? God said to him, I'm not dishonest. I'll get it in the honest way for you. What I'm saying, I'm not dishonest. I want somebody's house and kick them out and take their money. Robin Jones, you know. Next verse, 4. Surely I've calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. You know what a weaned child is? You know what a child is? When it's always looking for breast milk, always pulling mommy. Then the time comes and say, no more. And the guy will struggle, cry. Mommy said, no more. After a while, he just knew that won't work anymore. You look at the amala. Mommy said, eat amala. He said, I won't eat amala. Then after 2 or 3 days of hunger, the guy would pull the amala there and start eating. See, it's calmed down. Why is mommy doing this to me? It's too profound for me. One of these days, I will grow up and learn. But right now, I do understand. Do we get that? Is that clear? Next verse. Oh, Israel, do what? Hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. How will God heal me without drugs? It's none of your business. How will God take care of this in my life when I don't? No, you don't have to. Just learn to rest on him. Is that all right? Pastor, do I have to pray some prayer to make God wake up? If your God is sleeping, go ahead. Try to wake him up. That's not Jehovah God. He neither sleep nor slumber. Clap your hands for Jehovah. Praise God. Amen. Now, of course, sometimes you may not understand what's going on if you are not in the Word of God. So let's is that clear now? I've cleared some orders now. The first order is that when you pick up the Bible, what is there is there. It's not anything else. There's nothing like reading a verse like now, that verse now. Oh Israel, open the Lord for this time, forevermore. And tell yourself that if you read that verse backward in your room, money will fall on the floor. That's occultic power. That's not the Bible. Like now, forever and for time this from Lord, and then money start dropping. That's not Bible. That's devil doing something else, messing with your head. We can see Israel hope in the Lord. So what do? You hope in the Lord, and from this time forth and forevermore, you have your hope in him. And you don't start questioning what's going on sometimes, what's going to happen about that. No, leave it to the Lord. He says you hope, right? Does that make some sense? Hey, but pastor, if I'm doing that, what else will I do? Keep your eyes in those words. God told Joshua, don't turn left. Let's go. Joshua 1. I want to help you. Today you prosper more than ever before in Jesus' name. Let's go. Joshua 1, verse 6. Okay, verse 7. Only be strong and very courageous. That I might fight everybody in town? No. To do according to all the law. Only be strong and very courageous. To do your own part. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. The reason why you are not doing well sometimes, trying to get something from God, is because you are not focused on what God says you should do. You are thinking about what God will do or what others will do. What about if I give and I don't get anything? Just keep quiet. Just do the giving. And keep your eyes on that. Don't turn right. Don't turn left. Is that right? You see, the devil, pastor, what does this have to do with the devil? Fantastic. I'm glad you heard. The devil is the one to deceive you to see something that God didn't say in his word. Genesis 3 verse 1. Devil's master game, his greatest way of working on your life. Genesis 2 and Genesis 3. Let's see Genesis 2 first so that I can make it clearer. This is what God said to them, right? Come and see. Verse 15. Genesis 2. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to what? To tend and to keep it. Next verse. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. You may freely eat. And next verse, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil shall not eat, for the day you eat thereof shall surely die. Now wait, can I ask you a question? What did God command them? What did God command them to do? I know what you are thinking is that you should not eat. You are wrong. His first command was freely eat. Let's go back. Verse 16. The Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree, that's the first command. Of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat. He didn't say, you see, many of us think that God's commandment is to stop you from doing something. No, it's to help you to do something more. So you may freely eat. I mean, you know that garden is big. There are four rivers in that garden. You can eat forever. Then he said, next verse. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. See, it's not about not eat. It's about freely eating. Yeah, is that clear? It's freely eating anything, yeah? But only one thing. What's wrong with you? Come on, what's wrong with you? I offer you 50,000 options, and I say, don't take only one. And then your eyes on that 50, or that one person. Something wrong with you. You are okotic. You got a problem. Something's hidden there that you don't want me to see. Okay, Genesis 3 verse 1 now. The devil, that's what he does. 3 verse 1, Genesis. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field. The Lord God has said to the woman, as God indeed said, that means you don't understand grammar. You don't know English. You shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Is that what God said? You see, it's a minimizer. God is a maximizer. Praise God, somebody. Hallelujah. Next verse. Then the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. Next verse. But of the fruit which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, nor shall you so touch it, lest you die. See, she didn't get it. And you know, I talk to people. Particularly women here, listen to this. Be precise. You see, by nature, women don't like mathematics. A lot of women don't like mathematics. Only few, actually. But things are changing now. Women are equal, more equal than men. But you don't... This is one of the reasons why God didn't allow women to do a lot of things in the Bible. They're not precise those days. They're getting more precise now. That's why you can see Mary sitting down with Jesus with those 12 boys. Martha was not in agreement with that because she must just be in the kitchen and running about something and running 10,000 directions in one spot. But Mary was precise. And that's the problem. That's the fundamental root of women's problem. That's what opens the door to deception. Because you don't hear things clearly, then things are muddled around your head. That's what Bible says, women should not teach. Not because they can't teach, but because those women, they got their head muddled up. And don't blame only the women too. Men, because they muddle up first. Because if Adam had spoken up, all that kind of thing would happen. You're looking like Dundee United, you know? It was there, actually. It was there. It was not far off Owen Grant somewhere. It was there. Praise God. I said, no, dear. No, that's not, we should not do that. But you see, you know, it's you have to be precise about life. You just can't, you know, be easy, you know. God didn't say, don't touch it unless you, God didn't say that about touching it. Did he say anything about touching it? They take care of the tree. They touch the tree. They take care of it. They have to keep it and tend it. But see, sister, imagine a mind that means don't touch. Devil could see the trap there, and then devil stepped in. Because she was not hearing God precisely, thinking that God is easy about things. Look at next verse. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Next verse. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. No, see, God knows. So he's saying God has some other knowledge besides this knowledge he's giving you. God's not straight. Say to yourself, God is straight. The devil is the one that's bent. Praise God. Are we here? So in the first place, always remember that the word of God is precise, is accurate, it means what it says. And pay attention to it. Pastor, what's wrong with you today? Nothing's wrong with me. The Bible says the woman was deceived, but the man was not deceived. So, deception, the devil wants to work on you as a woman here. So, just see that you get precise. Get precise. Get precise. You know what you want. And once in a while, open your Bible and check it up yourself. Is that all right? Does that make some sense? Okay, so the devil wants to manipulate us, but God wants to maximize us. Praise God. Say that with me. The devil wants to manipulate us, God wants to maximize us. So where do we go? We go for the maximizer, not the manipulator. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. All right. Fantastic. So let's talk about how to deal with that devil now. We saw it last week, some things. But, you know, I talked about last week, about dealing with the devil. If you remember, I said, number one, what I said number one, besides the one, don't give place to the devil. I don't know if you remember that. First, we must not be ignorant of devil's devices. Remember that? Using grief and sorrow to overwhelm us. Let's go and read it. Chapter 1, 2 Corinthians. Chapter 2. Hallelujah. Chapter 2. You know, verse 11, we read last week. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. Can you look up? For we are not what? Ignorant of his what? Devices. Okay. So, devil has devices. Now, just take that one verse, won't give us the message. So let's read around that verse quite well. Let's go to verse 5. I wish we can read so much. Okay, come on. Let's read from verse 1 so we can get the whole meaning. I didn't read that one. Now, listen. Can you look up? But I determined this within myself. This is Paul talking now. That I will not come again to you in sorrow. Did you hear that? They had problem with Paul. Paul changed the direction of going to go and see. He was thinking of going. He didn't go and see them again, but he didn't want to give them sorrow. Whoa. Are you here? Why? Let's keep reading. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad? But the one who is made sorrowful by me. See, sorrow is contagious. When you make somebody sorrowful, that sorrow will get transferred to you too and spread around. So Paul said, I don't deal with sorrow. Now, I know that I'm going to, some sorrow has to be there, but I want to prevent sorrow from just manifesting too much. I'm not going to come now. Let's keep reading. And I wrote this very thing to you. Lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those from whom I ought to have joy. See, Paul was saying that I wrote to you those things to clarify when I was not there yet, so that when I come, we'll have joy together. For, listen, having confidence in you all that my joy, any parent knows this. The joy of your children is your joy. How many parents know that? I mean, when your child is happy and things are working, passing, you are happy. When the child is not doing quite well, I mean, you're sick, you are not sick, you are not well yourself. Am I right? Pastor, I'm well, though. You are sick. Your child is not well, you're dancing around. You know. Let's go to verse 4. Okay? Verse 4, next verse. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart. Please, can you look up? I wrote to you with many tears. Please, are we here? Okay, you see Paul talking to the Corinthians and talking and telling them you are not acting well. But you see, behind that rebuking them, there was this. Anybody who rebukes anybody, any sincere person who wants to correct you, they have a lot of, in their own, first of all, agitation about your life. Even down to my children, when I want to correct them, something, if you're parents, I know, you feel funny. You don't feel all right. Anybody who enjoys rebuking people and bashing them and kind of thing is sick. Some pastors think that it's their pastime to just cause people sorrow and talk to them anyhow. Listen, I'm talking about not being unaware of devil's devices. This, I'm picking this device first so you can see it. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have. So only for you. See, when you correct somebody, it's not just because of correction, it's because you want to make their life better. That's what should be the reason. So, actually, rebuking should show that you actually love the person. For instance, if you're crossing the road with somebody and a car is coming for that person and he cannot see it, sorrow will make you grab him and throw him off the ground. Am I right? Because you don't want to have sorrow upon sorrow. Want to make some sense this morning, this evening? And I didn't come here for all this, but I'm enjoying it. It's following God. Look at next verse. Let's go on. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. You know, personally, I give people long rope. Are you hearing me? Just won't act and say things to people, just damage them. Either your children or your family. That's why, you see, a lot of time, I don't comment about things going on in church. I don't do that. There are things to do with our lives than be talking about other things. He said, he has not grieved me, but all of some extent, not be too severe. So when somebody is grieved, it affects all of us. Next verse. Let's keep reading. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. See, when we start grieving, when we start rebuking, it's a punishment in its own. You see, are we here, everybody? When we are very small, are we here? Are you here? I'm teaching to learn some things. When you are very small, beating gives you punishment. Beating for children is punishment. But for adults, it's not punishment. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Are you here? For children, beating is normal. The Bible says, foolishness is in the heart of a child, but the rod will drag it out. But it's not the child of an adult. What will help an adult, the punishment on an adult is rebuke, not flogging. Some churches, people mess up in the church. They said, you can't cut grass. Grass won't stop the mess you did. That's what children will do. Let's keep reading. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and do what? And comfort him. Lest perhaps, this is where I'm going, such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. So sorrow can swallow us up. And look at next verse. I love this. Look at next verse. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. Next verse. For to this end, I also wrote, and I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Verse 10. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I forgive anything, I forgive that one for your sake, in the name of Christ. Next verse. Lest Satan. So what? Now, see, please listen. Are you here? Notice before COVID, mental health issues were not so much prevalent. Moment after COVID, because that brought sorrow to many hearts. I mean, Job was perfect, was doing great. But when the things started going against him and life was getting too rough, he broke down. Sorrow has a way of making life difficult. And you must never let sorrow overtake your life. Or else Satan will take advantage of you. You see, if you are broke, don't be broken by your broke. You don't get what I just said? Huh? Always be like that drunken man. I don't say you should get drunk. Are you listening? You know what I told you before? Drunken man. See, this guy was going home from his workplace in the night. I was passing through graveyard. Are you here? I said, are you here? Thank you. This man, Mr. A, was going to the house, but he passed through the graveyard. So he was passing by, that was the freshly dug grave. He just fell inside it. Boom. And it was too deep. He tried to get out. He couldn't get out. So Mr. A was there. And Mr. B was coming outside. He was drunk. To just staggering, you know. Just staggering. And then, kaboom, he fell into that hole. Never knew somebody was there before. So he just started, hey, help me. That other guy started playing pranks on him. That one went to the corner of the grave. I said, like a ghost. He can't, Lord, get out of here. That drunken man scrambled and got out. Sorry to say this. Get drunk enough to scramble out. Don't be too sane to stay in your problem. Are you hearing me? Hear me? Mofi, you have enough calculation to keep yourself in trouble for 10 years. Stop that. You'll be overwhelmed by sorrow. And Pastor, I'm broke. I come and eat in your house. Shut up. Okay. You know, I always get people encouraged. You know, you're tired. Come sleep. You know, what time? Elijah was tired. You know, it was Elijah. Elijah was tired, you know, because, you know, he had killed people. God had brought fire. And don't ever think that testimony can stop sorrow sometimes. You have to stop it yourself. Let me give an example. You know, Elijah did a wonderful work the day before. I mean, fire came from heaven. And second morning, one woman said, your head will not be on your head tonight. One woman. See, first the husband, you better, when women attack you, you better run. You know, so he just started running. And was getting overwhelmed by mental health issues. and you know, just say, Lord, let me die. I'm not better than my fathers. Huh? But he started running. If you want to die, you should just wait there and die there. But he didn't. That's something in every man to want to live. Anybody here, you want to live and live abundantly, clap your hands for Jesus. Say amen, somebody. You know, and it dragged on. Then finally, he got a place. He said, Lord, just kill me now. Just kill me now. The Lord didn't answer him. He sent an angel to bring him food. So he gave him food. He ate the first one. He slept again. He woke up and he ate the second one. He said, go now. He started going. So now, when you feel terrible, just go and eat. You hear me? Go chop. Food will give some level of satiety kind of a thing. Pastor, what's wrong with you tonight? I'm really helping tonight. See, devil want to overwhelm us with sorrow. He want to bring sorrow on us. He will look at your life. Look at where you're going. But don't let him take advantage of you. Do you know what? Do you know what? Your life is doing well. In certain areas, may not be doing well. But you are not bad totally. Only 1% bad totally. That's the devil. And the devil will come to you and emphasize that part that is not there. And make you think that you are finished without it. But the devil is a liar. You will rise and shine in Jesus' name. Do we get that? Do we get that? That's why every one of us must have praise and worship songs on our phone. Not Davido. Because praise and worship songs will lift you up. Will encourage you. Will strengthen you. Am I making some sense over here? Just imagine you are feeling down. You put on the mountain, in the valley, on the land, and on the sea, the Lord is my portion. That's already settling you. Am I right? Don't go and bring Asha.
I don't know where this life is going. I don't know how I'm going to go. Wish everybody is dead on the planet.
Minus me. Hallelujah. So, don't be overwhelmed by sorrow. That's the first devil strategy to overwhelm. You see, Pastor, why? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sorrow is your weakness. Okay, you mean I must not deal with sorrow? Yeah, sometimes you need sorrow to change, but don't make it permanent. Sorrow will last for the night, but joy comes when? And we always wake up, don't we? So money will come. All right, fine. Second one. Let's go further. I said, second one, don't give place to the devil. Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Then I'll go something deeper today. I'll help us. Ephesians 4. Look at verse 27. Ephesians 4, 27. Nor give place to the devil. Now, who is the devil? Remember? The devil? Tempter. Remember? Is the tempter. Remember? Remember? The tempter and the deceiver. Last week, I talked about devil usually takes place in our life through two things. Our thoughts and our attitude. What did I say? Our thoughts and our disposition. Let's go to Matthew 16. How does it take a place in your finances? Take a place in your health? How does it take a place in your future? You see, he had to introduce his thoughts in first and then clothe you with the attitude. Some of you just wake up in the morning and just feel sad. You must learn to excuse yourself from it. You hear me? You go for a conference or a contract and they deny you. Devil want to put the garment on you of discouragement. How to shake it off. You have to on purpose put pressure that see in my house, my wife, she has a kitchen. And then house fly we like to fly in. She tell us, don't open the door, including pastor. Yeah, you let the door open. And I say, okay. You know? Before, the door used to have a rubber that would pull it. But we now graduated to another better door. That one has no pull to pull it. So you have to pull it ourselves. And she will just get in there. She close it, put wire there. Once in a while, they still stay inside. Now, she got this thing called fly swat or something. This swat, you call it now? Or swatter or something. Long like this. It has length like this. Another one, another one. Whap! So she goes around. If you enter the place, I kick you out. She just goes, fam, fam. She will just wait for them. Bam. Now, if you ever enter, you kick him out. Praise God, somebody. And how does he enter? Through thoughts.
Some of you, when I say the devil,
of you know what you're waiting for? You say, don't give it to the devil. Some of you, you think that devil just means somebody, you know, looking like like this. Horns. Red pants. Long tails. Can't pitch focus. Say, ooh, I'm going to kill you. Okay. If I'm waiting for that, you're already dead. How does it come? It comes through thoughts. Attitude. You're waiting for 10 and you got 5 and you are down. You got 50%, you are down. What if you don't get anything? You know, I just heard somebody defining envy yesterday there. My friend, Bob Morford. He said, envy is counting other people's blessing minus your own. You know what I said? One of my teachers told me yesterday. He said, what is envy? Counting other people's blessing minus your own. What is contentment? Counting your own blessing. Do you get that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, Matthew 16. Let's go there. Hallelujah. Have you seen your children? They look at their, you know, he has a brother. Listen together. Look at your whole meat is bigger. You see, that's casting that person's blessing, not your own. All right. Matthew 16, are we there? Okay, let's read some of these verses. Look at verse 15. But he said to them, that's Jesus asking the apostles, who do you say that I am? To make it clear, let's start from verse 13. Just follow me. When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man am. Next verse. And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Can you look up here, everybody? Can you look up, everybody? Jesus was defined by people of all sorts. And can I warn you, people will give all kinds of meaning to your life that's not your own. They call Jesus Elijah, John, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Hello. Sometimes even your spouse cannot fully define you. Are you hearing me? So next verse. And then Jesus said to them, but who do you say I am? Now look at next verse. Some people answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let's look at his answer now. And he said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. My Father who is in heaven. Now, can I ask you a question? How did God reveal that to Peter? He looked at Jesus over the years, they've been together, and he came to see that it's Christ, and the thought, he came to this affirmative thought that Jesus is the Christ, right? So, God influenced his thoughts to accept Jesus. Are you hearing me? For instance, if I stretch out to you money, a thought can say, oh, that's pastor, collect the money. A thought can say, or can say, excuse yourself because it's a trap. It's in your thoughts. Now, God reached the thoughts of Peter and gave him about who Christ was and said, you're blessed. But let's read downward. Verse 20, after doing that, then he commanded his disciples that they should not tell anyone that it was Jesus the Christ. Next verse. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Next verse. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. Now wait. He called him Christ. So he had his own thoughts about Christ. That God gave him is Christ. But then, this one coming in now, where is this one from? Look at next verse. Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. So, see, the thoughts in his head now no longer belong. He's the same person. That sounds like you too, Abby. Am I right? You come to church, hallelujah, glory, glory, praise God. I believe God. Pass that door, get one text, Jesus. Hello, we're all like that. Huh? Something happened. Hey, Lord, my God, my shape. Oh, we just been singing glory, hallelujah, lifting up our hands. You get out there, meet somebody who has offended you. Same person. Tell somebody beside you, we are really strange. We are really strange. Tell somebody beside you, we are really strange. Tell everybody beside you, we are really strange. Or tell them, if you are very nice, tell them, you are really strange. You are really, really strange. Praise God. We are all strange. We can welcome thoughts from God and welcome thoughts from the devil. But like I told you, neither give place to the devil. You fight it. Oh, you know, sometimes I wake up in the morning and I wake up with Holy Ghost. Sorry, I wake up on Holy Ghost. You know, let me make you laugh. But I always expose him because he tells me things. See, one day just woke up and said, what am I doing in this country? How can I get out of this country? Get out of this country. And the God said to him, you are in a sinking boat. He said, sinking boat. Where should I go? The Lord said, the whole world is a sinking boat. It just calm down. Hallelujah. Are we still here? You see, you're all looking at me laughing now. Until tomorrow morning. Until something happened, your thoughts. You're funny, you know. I don't know. How will I get the money from? I don't know. But provide. Don't say that now. Amen. Are you here? You know, can I be honest with you? Can I be honest with you? Today, you see me talking like this and happy like this. I thought I was the worst Christian God ever made. It was so bad in my earlier days. When I opened the Bible, I'll be reading things that are not in the Bible. Crazy things. I mean that are abnormal. Thoughts. Man, it was bad. Some of you don't have that kind of talent. God bless you. Some of you never had that kind of mind. I celebrate you. But people like us, our mind is just, you know, you have to negotiate every bend, every corner in your mind. You have to affirm the matter again. That's why I don't count money sometimes. If I'm counting money, something happened, I can't, my wife will laugh, you know. I count it as 9,000, 10,000, 11,000. Because my mind is somewhere else. Right? So I have to count it twice. And I don't get patience to count it twice. So they ask me about it. 9 or 10 or 11. There, take it. My wife never miss counting money. She never miss counting money. Even she's sleeping. The jebuli. Like that. All the devil say yes. Thank you. Abambe, no worry. Oh boy. Oh boy. So thoughts, attitude. You just feel terrible sometimes. It's not coming from you. It's from an outsider, alien spirit. I want to just put something on you. You just have some of these strange appetites. No one. Thoughts will flash in your head. Things will happen. You just say, no, I don't want that. You want to plant a seed, but thank God it won't grow in my heart in Jesus' name. Do we get that? Thoughts of sickness, thought of disease, thought of lack, thought of sorrow, thought of division, thought of envy. Give place to the devil. Suspicion, things like that. Just hold it. That's why I want to love everybody in church. Just want to love you, be best for you, not looking for something to just kind of trap everybody. No, that should not be. We should be living for each other's welfare. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? That's why my wife keeps shouting about love, love. Because when you walk in love, you walk in the light. Devil can't get you. When you love God, love yourself, and love others, life will be easier for you. Am I making some sense here today? So, don't give place to the devil. But before I go further tonight, I sense this. I hope I'm able to do this tonight. Somebody said, the devil is not easy to face. You have to really, don't talk about devil like that too. The apostles have power about the devil, but what about us? Let's go. Chapter 10, the book of Luke. But let's read Mark 1 first to make it. Jesus was given authority, an unusual authority. Nobody else was like him. If you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, nobody ever did like Jesus. When Jesus came up, he began to heal the sick, cast out devils. That never happened before. You know why? It was a different breed. It was a human unlike a human. Why? It was human, flesh and blood, but it's not a human as sinful. There was no sin in him. He was not conceived of fallen parents. God planted the egg, the fertilized egg, in the womb of Mary. Like today we have IVF. They can plant, they can take egg and put it in your womb, right? So God just took that before IVF came up. And put that in the womb of Mary to grow and to get going, and then the child grew. So it was a different person. It was a human unlike a human. And so inside him, there was no place for the devil, physically speaking. So he had inbuilt authority that the devil could not overcome him. But all of us over here, we are born by our parents. So let's look at Mark chapter 1. Hallelujah. Are we here? I said, are we here? Okay, let's read the verse. Verse 23. Okay, from 21. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue. I want to give you a proof why you have authority over the devil. Now, I want to explain to you why you can do and you can stop the devil. Are you hearing me? Why you are not just overwhelmed by your weakness and your sinfulness. I want to show it to you today. Let's make that our subject today before we go further. Then they, that's Christ's disciples, went into Capernaum. Mary, on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught while he was teaching. Next verse. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as what? You know the meaning of that? Christ will get up and say, I said to you, this is it, this is what God will do. But the scribes will be quoting one Pharisee or the other. Christ was coming with his own authority. Hallelujah. Like I told you, he was not born like any kind of man, but he was a human being. Let's keep reading. Now, there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. That's devil. And he cried out. What did he say? He said, let us alone. How do you do with you, Jesus? Did you come to the source? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. I told you, he was human, but unlike human. Now, when that demon challenged him, Jesus could have stayed in his authority there because that guy was not like him. Are you hearing me? Are you here? This evil spirit knew Jesus was different. But he knew that demon knew that the devil was here in charge. But something that they never knew was this. Jesus came into the world not just to have authority for himself, but to dispense it. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, you can have fuel for yourself, but you can also be a filling station to sell fuel. So that demon thought that Jesus was just here, so don't disturb us. Look at next verse. And he said, rebuked him, saying, be quiet. And for the first time in human race, come out. He never did any incantation. He never called anything zam, 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 zam. He never used any name. He just directly said, come out. And what happened? Because of that sheer divine authority as the Holy One of God and authorized to dispense authority and to clear whatever is in his way, that thing came out. Next verse. And When the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. That's the first time in human history. Now, there are, what do you call them now? They're cast out. Exorcist. Is that exorcist? Is that what you call them? They cast out devils. They do deliverance. Usually when they do deliverance like that, they'll be quoting and counting and chanting things. They will never come like, you do say things, am I right? They will say words, they will do things, that's around it. I see there, I get some herbs, get some stuff, get some money wool, get some clothes, get some wrap, some kind of, some water. But Jesus, it was raw, direct, simple, and straight. Come out, and what did he do? Next verse. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned about themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority, he commands, not go through incantations, he commands the spirit, unclean spirit, and they obey him. That's the first time in human history. If you are going to do anything with the devil, you go through different roads and calls, different things to help you get it out and beg God and implore him. Like the Saul, they had to get David to go and play guitar and calm down the devil. And once in a while, I can jack my David had to run out sometimes, you know. But Jesus muzzled the devil. Praise God, somebody. Stop the evil spirit. Cast it out. Stop it in the first time in human history. But something strange happened after that. You know what he did? After doing that, and everybody, their eyes got big. Then in Luke 9, verse 1, he did something that was unusual. In Luke 9, verse 1, let's look at it quickly. Then he called his 12 disciples together. Look up, everybody. And gave them power. Are you here, everybody? And authority over what? So Jesus not only had fuel, it was a tanker carrying fuel of authority and power. And he began to share it. Hallelujah. For instance, when you have fuel in a keg, you may not share it. But when you have Saudi Arabia kind of reservoir, you can keep it on the ground. So Christ began to give authority to these 12 disciples. That's Luke 9. Let's go to Luke 10, verse 1. He did some more. Let's look at it. Luke 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them 2 by 2 before his face into every city and place where himself was about to go. So beside the 12, he got these 70 people too that were around him. And what's their job? Look at it. Next verse. Then he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, what's their work? Pray, Lord of the harvest, send out laborers to the harvest. So he sent these 70 people, 35 pairs of them, to where he will go. And then he said, go and pray. Am I right? What's the assignment? What's the assignment? To go and pray. But something happened when they went. What happened? Luke 10:17. Take a look. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are what? Now, he didn't give them authority and power like the 12. Are you listening, everybody? We just read in Luke 9, verse 1, he gave them authority, am I right? And power. But these 70 were not giving anything. Just give, go pray. Pray for the sick and kind of a thing. But just by association with Jesus, praise God, somebody. Just by association with Jesus, these 70 went out there and demons were messing up. And in the same way, in his Jesus' name, those demons just obeyed these 70. Not even 12 apostles now. But I said, I wish I was in the 70 group. Are we here? I said, are we here? Pastor, you're just telling me that 70 and the 12 had it. I want to go, just be with me. Are you here? So Jesus sent them out around Galilee and Judea and once in a while Samaria and told them not to go anywhere else. I want to really make it clear for so you know how you have authority. Can you understand it? Don't just kind of say, I have authority. No. Let's get sensible here and reasonable. So this 70 had it. And the the 12 had it. In fact, look at next verse. And he said, he said to them, I saw what? Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Next verse. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on. Now, they were already using it before he gave them. It's already happening to them before he gave them. He said, I give you. Now, they went out and did something, right? He didn't say, I give you. He said, I give you. He was now affirming what they are doing now. I give you to trample on serpent and scorpion and over all the power. I got the Bible that says, over all the full force of the devil. Praise God, somebody. And nothing, see that word nothing, is twice. He said it twice. You can't say that in English. Said, and nothing, I said nothing. Praise God, somebody. So by any means, hurt you. So he said that to those 70 and 12, right? Making how many? 84. What about us? So they walk with Jesus, but after they walk with him, he went to the cross and he died. After he died, on the third day, he rose from the dead. Now, let's look at what he said after he rose from the dead. Something happened. Before, he said, don't go anywhere except to Judea, Samaria, and Galilee. But then he said, go into all the world. Remember that? Remember that? Okay, let's go to Matthew 28. He said, he gave disciples, right? He gave what? He gave disciples, am I right? He gave disciples. 12, are we everybody? Are we everybody? He gave how many? 12 disciples and 70 by association. Are we here? Let's go to Matthew 28. Let's go to verse 18. Come and see. Now, Jesus, okay, let's start from verse 16. After he rose from the dead, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples, see, one had fallen away, went away to where? Into Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Next verse. When they saw him, Bible is very, very honest. They worship him, but some doubted. Can I ask you a question? If you got 11 people and some doubted, how many are the some? 2, 3, 4, 5. They still doubt. Like you doubt. Don't you? Pastor never doubted. Biggest liar. They worshipped him, but some doubted. But in spite of their doubt, look at next verse. And he said, he came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me, where? In heaven. So something had happened by his going to the cross, buried, raised, gone down and come back here. And he said, now something has transpired. I have all authority, all delegated power has been given to me. Where? In heaven. No longer in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. So something happened by his death, burial, and resurrection. Do you know what? Listen to me. We have never really understood that. The world has fooled us to do Christmas and forget Easter. Our re-celebration is Easter, not Christmas. What changed the world was not the birth of Christ. What changed the world was the death, burial, and the rising of Christ from the dead. If he had never died and got buried, raised from the dead, he would still just be the Jesus of Nazareth. So he said, all authority. Now remember, he gave the 12 disciples, right? Right? Are we here? Now, let's hear what he says next now. Go you therefore, and make disciples of how many? Of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son. Wait. Now, he got 12 with power. He said, you're not, go and make all people disciples. The same power and authority they will have. Can you clap your hands for Jesus, somebody? Whoa. So he said, now that I got it for all over the world, now, see, we can't say the apostles got it 12, they were disciples, but said, go and make them disciples like you.
Somebody said, are you sure?
Peter was there. Second Peter 1, let's go down there to be a witness to that. Look at verse 1. Disciples. So we are becoming like them. Verse 1. Simon Peter, a born servant, an apostle of who? Look up. To those who have obtained like precious faith with us. So we got what they got. Praise God. Amen, somebody. Are you hearing me? Okay, don't mind me. When I say you got what they got, I don't mean that it was full bloom. Just like Peter too, he staggered, failed, got up, once in a while, take devil's thought, take Jesus' thought at the same time, and denied him 3 times, right? But finally, he got up, he preached 3,000, and one time, his shadow will heal the sick. That means he grew up in it. And we can also grow up in it in Jesus' name. Amen. But you don't grow up and have extra arm. It's the same arm that grows. So we got the same faith.
Pastor, what about apostolic faith?
You got apostolic faith too. Same faith. Right? Are we here? I said, are we here? Tell yourself, I got the same faith. I'm a disciple as much as Peter. I'm a disciple as much as Judas. No, not Judas. He was a disciple before he backed off. And so was James and John. Okay, last 28. Let's go to Mark 16. Talking about authority. I'm going to explain to you something that happened today so we can close well today. Praise God. Are you blessed today? Just wish rain with 40, 10 o'clock so we can close by 10. But no, I won't do that. Finish soon. Let's go to Mark 16. Let's have a verse 13. Okay. After we are looking at where he rose from the dead. Where do we start from? Let's start from verse 11 or something. After he rose from the dead. And when they had, who are this day? Verse 10. She went, who's she? Mary. Okay. Good. Thank you guys for following me. Let's clap for them. They're helping me out. Now, when he rose, that's Jesus. We know it's he rose. Nobody else rose. When he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast out 7 demons. Wow, that's a trophy of Jesus. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. They were crying. Peter, James, and John crying like babies that the master is gone. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they don't believe. Because women can see anything. Are you right? They don't believe them. Let's pass. After that, he appeared to another form to 2 of them. As they went to the country. Next verse. And they went to the rest, but they did not believe them either. So don't think that these guys are really, you know, they were apostles. They got power over devils. Can you imagine? They got authority over evil spirits. So the person say, if I have power over devil, I'm perfect. No, they are not perfect. They are worse off like any of us over here. Just like those policemen. They got power, but they are human beings. They still drink beer. Am I right? Am I right? Some of them, they don't have any food. That's why they're begging you on the road. But when people are this, they stop. The government's behind it and they stop. If you don't stop, police will catch you. Okay, next verse. Okay, good. Now, later, Christ appeared to the 11 as he sat at the table and he rebuked. Close it. Hey, come on, close it now. I mean, he really went after them, rebuked them. And for their hardness of heart and unbelief, because they did not believe those who had seen him after they had risen from the dead. So they got problem too. Tell your neighbor, you got problem? Welcome to discipleship. Had to believe. I don't know. Praise God. I mean, they were struggling. I mean, they came to tell them. Pastor, they came and said it. My wife came and said it. You are still struggling with it. I don't know what I'm going to do that. I don't know. Come on, believe now. Go easy. They are like us. Let's clap for them. Oh, they should clap for us. You don't be too. Okay, we'll clap for them. So here they are. But you know what? In their unbelief and hardness, next verse 15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to what? Now, before it was only for the Jews. By rising from the dead, he now told them, now the whole world is now your palace. No longer this corner here. Why? Look at next verse. I love this. And he said, who believes and is baptized will be saved. Now, who is the one who believes? One who accepts the gospel, am I right? Will be saved. He who does not believe will be what? Condemned. Look at next verse. Now, come and see. Come and see where I'm going. And these signs will follow who? Are those the apostles or those who believe the apostles' messages? Answer me. Those who believe were those that the apostles went to, am I right? To preach the gospel. And when they believe, and in my name. Wow. So, how many of you believe in Jesus? You believe the gospel? So, Christ said, the very first thing in your life that you will take authority over evil spirits. Clap your hands for Jesus. That, you know, they never told us this. They never told us that. The very first ability and the strength of a Christian is that he has authority over evil spirits. Praise God, somebody. You know, and he said they will speak with new tongues. Do you know that he put casting out devils before speaking in tongues? Huh? How many of you speak in tongues over here? Boy, hear me. I like to say it this way. You got speaking in tongues, but you got backdated authority over the devil. You see, prof now. So now, make somebody, professor now, say professor. It's professor now, but say somebody backdated to 2 years ago or 1 year ago. Same way, when you got born again and you got filled with the Holy Spirit, God said, backdated is what? Authority over evil spirits. So, every one of us should not be taken aback and waiting for someone to deal with evil spirit. And every power of darkness, we have authority over them. We have them in our land, in our offices. They want to torment us. People say, my wallet here, my baeja, office in Wole Wobe. No, we have authority. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen, somebody. What the Muslims will go and meet Alpha for? What we go and see Babalawo for deliverance? We got it. We got it. Say that with me. I got it. I got it. Authority over evil spirit. I got it. Say that to yourself. Call it somebody. Tony Amosu, you got it. Praise God. You got it. From Jesus. So in my name, they'll cast out demons. They will tell the devil, I don't go and do any asso time or something, or do some fupa, fupa, fupa. I don't have to do that. I got direct authority live. Praise God, somebody.
Pastor, are you really sure?
Don't be a devil in your own life. Don't be a devil in your own life. See, what the devil is? Accuser. Don't be accusing your own life. No, you should be sure. Take it as yours. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. In my name. Now, Pastor, please, I need help. And I want to give you this help. Pastor, what happened within those 3 days that brought such vast power to all of us? Before, Christ never came to Ijebu or Abeokuta or Switzerland. It was only within Jerusalem and Galilee and Gamaria. What made him to become that different that today we have access to all this, all ourselves? So we find out? Let's find out. Number one, chapter 1, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. Maybe we should go to chapter 2 first before chapter 1. Praise God. Now, we're going to have to find out what happened at the cross. Are you hearing me? I mean, that place, Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, had done some kind of benefit that is for everyone on this planet. Universal application. Not only Jewish application. And people say, you know, they have Hamas, Israel are fighting. And they say, the Jews are God's people. Not really. We are God's people. They are to, but we are. They are physically, we are spiritually. And spiritual will outlast the physical. You hearing me?
Pastor, why are we not fighting there?
We don't fight flesh and blood. We have authority over evil spirits. Not Hamas. You hear me? That's not our dimension. That's their dimension. That's the physical life, the fact about there. What else should we put to? Colossians 2. Let's go down there. What really happened at the cross? So we can get it. If you look at the cross, it's here. This is a picture of a cross. If you look at this cross, all you see over there is trees like that. And if you see further, Jesus hanging there and bleeding away. Now, if you see that alone, you are not seeing very far. Now listen. See, I read to you, if you look at Matthew, are we here? Can you hear me clearly? Listen. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will see something that it will begin Jesus' life and by the end, crucified, right? And after he crucified, are we here? The apostles were confused and Christ rose again and left. And he said, go. Now, if all we have are those four books, we will not get anywhere. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Or like somebody said, Matthew, Mark, look at John. See, you got those four books. And they always close with Jesus dying and he rose again and stopped. How many of you watch Passion of Christ? Thank you. Now, Mel Gibson is doing a new film now. I hope you know. Called Resurrection. Because that just ended. It just makes so much meaning. Empty tomb. Where does it lead? What does it lead us to? So if you just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you stop there, you will never really understand the beauty of Christianity. Because it's finishing in death. And he rose again and he left. But something happened behind the veil. Things happened. For instance, when Jesus was on that cross, remember? Bible said he just screamed. When he screamed, Bible said in the temple, the cloth that was keeping the Holy of Holies, that was this tall, about 100 meters, I'm not sure, 100 feet tall, he just cut it, he just from the top there came down, torn. If from down here up, we say it's a human being. So they just tore it apart. Second, there were earthquakes. Just land just sprouting, bam, you can see, you can hear landmass just breaking up, quaking. And then third, listen to this, and third, they found graveyards open. Graveyards, pop-up, everywhere, it is, pop-up. Graveyards of the saints. And then after he rose from the dead, those guys came out of the grave. What? Can you imagine? What can you do? And you met Abraham. Say, hello. You want to run? He said, I'm okay. David. Isaiah. Jeremiah. So something had happened through that death. In fact, when he made that noise on the cross and screamed, what happened? The centurion man said, this must be the Son of God. He screamed, Eli, Eli, Lama, just screamed like that. Said, God, why do you forsake me? Was he forsaking? Forsaking for us. It was deeper than that. They all ran away from him. Why? See, that's just the beginning. No, that's just the beginning. He said, it is finished. That's not finished yet. That just means the Old Testament is finished. Something new is coming up now. And it will take 3 days and three nights. Like it took 6 days to make the planet, it will take 3 days and three nights to make something eternity forever. So that 3 days and three nights, where did he go? He didn't go to heaven. He didn't go to heaven. You know why I said so? Pastor, where did he go? Okay, remember? When he met Mary, Mary said, oh, my Lord, my master, said, don't touch me. I have not yet ascended to my father and your father. So he was not gone to heaven for those 3 days. Where did he go? He had to go and pay the price for our redemption. And the only person that we hold is the devil. So he must go and meet the devil in his backyard. Pastor, are you sure? Let's go. Last book in the Bible, Book of Revelation. Glory to Jesus. I said, glory to Jesus. Whoa. Verse 17. This is Jesus now in glory. And when I saw him, John saw Jesus, if I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid right hand on me and said to me, do not be afraid. That's Jesus in glory. I'm the first and the last. What do you say next verse? And I'm he who lives and was dead. And behold, what? I'm alive for how many days? Amen. And I have the keys of hell and of death. So, number one, he said he has keys to two places. What's the first place? Hell. Second place, death. So he died, he took the key, and he went to hell, and he took the keys. Praise God, somebody. Now, the word key stands for authority. To get authority over death, he died to go and meet death and conquer death. And then he went to hell, and he went to meet hell there in hell and conquer hell. Praise God. You know what I mean? You see, it's so nice. If we go to Germany, and Germany beat us for football. But it's so bad to come to Abuja and give us 5-0. Hallelujah. Are you still here with me? Let's go a step further. So that night, you know, they never told us. They just told us, this is Jinde. So we never knew what really transpired. We just think that, oh, Jinde, no, I'm already here. Nobody, I'm not here. I'm not here. I'm not here. Amana tetebo ayenda ulo. Huh? What happened when he died? And let's go to chapter 2 Colossians. Let's round up. Hallelujah. Okay. Let's read Ephesians chapter 4 first, then we'll come to Colossians 2, right? Look at chapter 4, Ephesians verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, that's Jesus, what did he do? He led captivity and he gave what? What's the meaning of that? Are you here? You see, this is Tuesday. Sunday, usually, you can't go like this. You have to finish the service and choir have to sing. Tuesday, choir no sing. We're going to go on. Are you hearing me? So we can get deeper. He led captive. That means some that were captive became his captive. Look at next verse. Now, this, he ascended. What does he mean? But he also first descended into the lower part of the earth. I told you about going to hell. So where is hell? The lower part of the earth. When you die and you are not a Christian, you go down. When you die, you're a Christian, you go up. Hell is a prison yard where they pack people before the day of judgment. But Jesus went down that lower part. Next verse. And he who descended also is the one, never happened before, ascended from that place, the lowest place, far above all the heavens, that he might feel, that they can feel his impact from the lowest part of hell to the highest part of heaven. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. And he gave gifts to men. From that bounty, when you go to war and you capture captives, you give gift out. 2 Colossians. Let's go there. See, some people, they're not here today. They never know the reason for their authority. They just be screaming, spiritual warfare, devil will come against you, devil will come against you, devil will come every night, 2-3 o'clock, they never know what they have, so they just keep on screaming. A lot of Christians just make noise. Devil abandon you. I come against you. Oh, yeah. What else should I say? Go to Pacific Ocean. What else should I say? Satan stole my life. Yeah. But if you know what you are, you know how you have the receipt for it, nobody can take it away from you. I'm giving you the receipt now for your authority. So that when they stop you on the road, you won't say, make I get them. Where's your receipt? And we'll go. Go to the police station. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? Are you still here with me? Or you have gone home? Praise God. Let's go. Come and see. Oh, hallelujah. Where do we start from? Let's start from verse 12. Can we read NLT? Can we read NLT? Talking about us. For you are buried with Christ. When you are what? Baptized. Can you look up here? Baptism is the symbol of what Christ did for us. Why did they baptize you? That you are buried with Christ and they raise you again. You are raised with Christ. Why? Because you know the meaning of that? That means what he did it for us. You hear what I just said? Okay, fantastic. And with him, you were raised to what? New life, because you trusted the mighty power of God. Who what? Who raised Christ from the dead. Let's keep reading. You were dead because of your sins, and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ. For he what? You see, your sin is the real padlock that the devil used to tie you. Let's keep reading. So God forgave you. Next verse. He canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by what? Now look up here. Now you just saw Jesus hanging on the cross, bleeding away. But rather, in the spirit, God was taking all the devil's charges against us. Took everything he has against us before you were born.
Pastor, how could God know?
That's why he's sinner to everybody. He knows what's coming tomorrow. He knows what you are going to do. So he had put everything, and he put that charges on a paper and nailed it to the cross. And when he did that, something happened. Look at next verse. Having in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. That's called principalities and power. That night, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, or that afternoon, when they put him over there and was bleeding away, God was taking all the charges of the devil against you and laid them there. No other sacrifice left you anymore. No, Ebojukeneko, Edailemo, Emoyemo, Efficiencibe, Edasima, Ebelo, Kefisibe, Kefisuno Be, Kefisuno Awo, Kefisuno Wilekon, Kefisimo. He had done it for us once and for all. He had paid for the charges. That's why everywhere you go in the world, all this occultic, they do sacrifice. But one has been done once and for all. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Bro, one day you're going to meet the devil. I'm not cursing you. One day you're going to face something that's beyond you. But thank God, he has been disarmed. That word, listen, NKJV. Give us an NKJV, quickly. NKJV. Having disarmed, what do you call them? Principalities, Nigerian sphere principalities, and powers. He disarmed them. What's the meaning of disarm? Answer me now. Disarm. You know the word arm? What's the word arm? What's the word arm? It means two things: Owo and Ibon. Disarm means their action place. It's your hand. If I cut away your hand, you can't do anything. If I cut away your hand, you can do anything. You can't hold me anymore. And Christ, as far as your life is concerned, is cut off their hands. Oh, they have arms, but as far as they're concerned, they are cut off. Having disarmed, removed their weapons from them by taking your charges against, he paid for that, and he disarmed principalities and power. Go back to NLT. Let's go back to NLT quickly. Having disarmed, in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by victory over them on the cross. So it is the cross that gave you that victory over the evil spirits. Praise God. Not your prayer and fasting. You're wasting your time. Fast and pray to grow spiritually, but not to overcome the devil.
Pastor, are you sure?
Don't be the devil in your own life. I've told you. It disarmed. Let's hear it in Amplified Bible and NTPT. Let's round up on this. Praise God. Are you blessed tonight? This is not pastor. This is not anointing. Forget anointing now. It's for pastors. It's for ministers. You don't have anointing. You have authority over the devil. See, pastors have anointing to cast out the devil and go. That's the anointing. No. He didn't give you anointing. He gave you authority. He disarmed the devil over your life.
Pastor, I want to be a pastor. I want to be a pastor.
I will overcome. Why do you have gone away? Only pastors are suffering in the house of the devil because they just think you have anointing. One guy wrote a book. the anointed also cry. Have you seen the book before? I'll give you the book. God disarmed what? That were ranged against us and made a bold display and public example of them in triumphing over them in him and in the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every one of us over here, Christ paid for our victory in the hands of the devil. And he paid with his own blood, and the paper hanging over our head, he nailed it to the cross. Praise God, somebody. Somebody said, Pastor, I just want money. I don't have to hear this. Let's hear TPT. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers, the pillar of darkness, sweeping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around us. Around as what? Prisoner in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner, they were his prisoner. And we are his brothers and sisters. Praise God. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Whoa, hallelujah. Oh, let me say like this. Whatever is doing you has been undone by the cross. Praise God, somebody. Whoa, glory to God. Just wait, it will be fully manifested. Whatever is doing you, we don't share what you already stole while on the cross. You know, sometimes some things you do, have you been there before? Something you do online, it won't show up because you went offline. Maybe that's something you delete, and then you go offline. And you think it's still there, so you can do it. But once you go online, it's out. Same way, devil can do it because you are offline. The moment you go online and take this truth and connect with Christ, it's dissolved. Praise God, somebody. Let's see one more thing before we leave. Chapter 1, Colossians, verse 12. Give us in TPT. So that means what? 13th verse. Let's go to verse. Okay. Stay here. Go back. Your heart can now show with what? When you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance, this authority freely given to us by living in the light. Look at next verse. I love this one. Next verse. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness. And what? See, I'm screaming now. And has translated us. So where are we now? We are not in darkness. Where are we? In the light. If you want to go to abroad, go. The day you land like this, you have arrived. You know you have left Nigeria, finally. You are here. We have left devil's dominion. Praise God, somebody. Now, all around the earth, he has authority, but not over us anymore. Because right now, we are no longer under his. Pastor, can you make it clearer? I round up with this. But Pastor, the devil is still here now. You know, embassy of a country. Like now, America has embassy in Nigeria. That embassy there is the sovereignty of U.S. And if you're an American citizen, that's your embassy. Nigeria can chase you. But the moment you enter that embassy, Nigeria authorities stop outside the door. Hallelujah. Your life is an embassy of Christ now. When you give your life to Christ, your life becomes a place for Christ on earth that he owns. And your skin is as far as devil can go. Are you hearing me? If you are smarter, you can make it your grand and your house and your job. Making some sense? Let's listen to NKJV. Who has delivered us? Quickly go. He has delivered us.
Pastor, you know what I need? I need deliverance.
I know what you meant. You meant that devil should leave you alone. God didn't let devil. God took you out of devil's hand. You get the difference? You know the difference? You don't know the difference. I can deliver you, but you can be delivered. Pastor, what's the meaning of that? How can I make this clear for you? Imagine you are owing money. Imagine you are owing money. How much are you owing? 5,000, 10,000, 100,000. Imagine I give you 3 million. The debt is gone. Right? See, deliverance is, this demon torments me. This demon, okay, I'm going to cast it out. But when he delivered you like this, he's giving you 3 million. What is it? You yourself tell them, Ebawoyi Emalo. Is that all right? Let me tell you three testimonies, then I close. I have 5 minutes more. A sister in church one day, she came to meet me. She has a master's degree. I told you, when the trouble comes, you have to know your way. You can have all the money and the degree in the world, won't help you. She came to me and said, Reverend, I got a problem. I just hear a voice in my room and tell me, tear your clothes and run out. A voice in her room, tear your clothes and run out. If I was those pastors, I would say, they can see safe way. They can better prayer and fasting. That's the beginning of Wala. Or I could have said, Reverend's there for you. Let's go take care of it. You know what I told her? I said, my sister, Jesus did this for you. Delivered you. Gave you authority over the devil. I said, you know what? That voice comes to you in your bedroom, right? I can't enter your bedroom. They will say, what am I doing here? I said, go to your bedroom and say to that spirit, hey, evil spirit, I got a master's degree. My head is correct. My head's not correct. I said, tell that devil, I got a master's degree. I'm not going to tear any clothes. I'm a child of God. Period. That thing left. Never came back. Then, after a couple of years after, somebody came to meet me in church. He said, Reverend, I have a problem. One man just come near my bed in the night and stay beside me. They call it Okoronu. So what do? You go and tie one scarf and get one banana to go and bury the guy. You are buried with Christ. Praise God, somebody. You are raised with him. He said, he will come to me on my bed and tell me, I want to sleep with you. I said, oh, kneel down. Shakabaka lakatalaka. 7 days of fasting and prayer. Bring money for me to help you fast for you. I will come rich and get more money. Do you know what? I said, my sister, you know what? You got authority. I told her the story of that other person. That he has authority over the devil. Just like everyone has authority over the devil over here. I said, go to your room. Where that place is. Where that bed you are lying. I said, tell that, whatever you are, I'm not married. I'm single. So yeah, it's okay. So clear. So clear. I'm not married. I'm a child of God. I'm not married to anybody. Clear my room. Never came back. Third one. This sister, she was in Sele before. Then she got born again. Her father was still one of those holy damn Sele. And then all kinds of devils would come to her in the night. Tormentor. She came to see me. My office, he has to go. I was down there. He said, Reverend, I've left, but this is tormenting me. I said, my sister. I opened that one to her. He has delivered us and conveyed us, transferred us. I said, if you're a Togolese and living in Togo, can Nigerian police catch you? He said, no. I said, you know what? You are a child of God. You are the kingdom of light. You have no business with that. Tell that thing. I don't want you in the name of Jesus. Them. You know why I love that? That means if it happens again, I can do it. But if I do it for you, if it happens again, I'm going to US. You are in trouble. Big palava. Don't let any pastor deceive you. And they say to you, oh, you buy hello? Only TV, only radio. Oh, you buy hello? What the hell? I like away. You see, that's why they're not well, because they don't read. If they read, they won't do anything they're doing. If they read the word of God, they will do better. You go, anointing. Then you go to this one, and go to that one, and go to that one, and go to that. Uncle, you are there now. You've been there. Now, it's free. Praise God. Clap your hands for Jesus. Praise God. He told us, I've been here, I've been there, I've been there, I've been there, I've been there. He's got all kinds of places, do all kinds of things. But now, today, we're free because we have authority in Christ Jesus. And we can do it ourselves. DIY. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. If you are not convinced with this, come back next week. All right? I'll keep doing it until you are convinced. And this is how I know you are convinced. Then you tell your friends at work. Baby. You're really convinced. When someone says, hey, something happened to my life. I can't sleep one night. Tell me, just tell me, in Jesus' name, come out. Are you a pastor? Sort of. Come to our church. You're clearly convinced now. Praise the Lord. Are you blessed today? Lift your hands, thank the Lord. Say, thank you, Father, for the authority we have in Jesus. Thank you for the authority we have. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit backing us up. Blessed be your name, that Jesus died for me. Died for me. Rose again. And I died with him and I rose again. And every charge against me from the devil has been nailed to the cross. And Satan has been disarmed. It's been disarmed. Praise God. And in that name of Jesus, I have authority today. I believe that. And I thank you, Father, for it. Give you all the glory. And I tell the devil, I serve you a notice. I'm free. I've been delivered. I've been set free. The blood is my ransom. It has been paid. No more other sacrifice. I'm free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Next week we'll see more. Let's give our offering and get out of here. Hallelujah. Glad we came tonight. Any announcement? No? Friday? Whoa, glory to Jesus.